I'd ask you to please turn with me this evening to the book of the prophet Isaiah and chapter 55 and verse 6. The book of the prophet Isaiah and chapter 55 and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, the book of the prophet Isaiah is often called the Gospel of Isaiah, because it looks by faith with certainty to Christ the Messiah. And so the verses before us can and should be taken in their prophetic, Christ-centered meaning, looking unto Jesus. We have before us then what can be described as an invitation of the gospel, the call of the gospel, a call to seek the Lord for salvation. Now I want to look first of all, friends, at the reason we should seek the Lord. The reason we should seek the Lord. We live in a world of broken relationships, and there is no greater problem for mankind than his separation from the Lord. That is the worst broken relationship of all. Sadly, we live in this world of many, many broken relationships. But the worst relationship, the worst brokenness you have in terms of your relationships in your life is that by nature you are separated from the Lord. Actually, if we look at all breakdowns in human relationships, they have their root problem in a person being separated from the Lord. And so man's biggest problem is his sin and separation. That his sin, by nature, has separated himself from the Lord. And therefore, if we are living in that condition this evening, you are living your life without any eternal cover, security. It's like you going out this evening and taking a car that you are not insured to drive and it's not taxed. And you're driving that car willfully without tax and insurance and you have no cover. And living your life this evening, the precious life that God has given you, a precious soul that God has given you, and you have no cover, no security. You're just living your life, you're driving your life without any security. You have no assurance of where you're heading in and of yourselves. You're not considering your security, your eternal security. And you're exposed to the judgment of God for your sin in such a condition. So to seek the Lord is the very best step and wisest step you can ever take for your personal well-being. You know, we have these adverts nowadays where it says it's good for you. What's right for you? Be good to yourself. And you are the big picture. Well, if you examine all the world's best thoughts, all the world's best advice that they give, so-called wisest advice, there's never any thought about eternity. Because the world's wisdom misses out God. So therefore, it misses out the really big picture. It misses out the eternal picture. And our Creator God knows what is best for you. He knows what's wrong with you, and he knows how to rectify the problem. Therefore, he says to you this evening, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. This is the day of grace. This is the day of salvation. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Now, many years ago, a would-be mechanic was working on his Model T Ford. This is one of the very first cars made for our younger generation. It had broken down. And as he was trying to fix the problem on his Model T Ford, a new Model T Ford, exactly identical, pulled up alongside. And out stepped the driver. He looked very smart. And he looked at the engine of the broken down Model T Ford, and he confidently suggested, you know, if you will adjust this screw here, your car will run. Well, the would-be mechanic of the broken-down vehicle, he stared at the stranger and thought, he looks well-dressed. He doesn't look like a mechanic to me. He's got no overalls on or anything. But he tried everything he knew to do, so he thought, well, I might as well do what he says. So he adjusted the screw as he was told, and he tried to start the engine, and lo and behold, the engine sprang into life. And in surprise, the man turned to the helpful stranger, and he said, just who are you anyway? Oh, he said, my name's Henry Ford. He said, I design the car, I oversee the manufacture of the car, and therefore I ought to know what makes it run and when it goes wrong, what is wrong with it. And so this evening, this is the first point. The reason we should seek the Lord is because the Lord is commanding us and instructing us and encouraging us. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and he made us. And he knows what is best for us. And he invites you to seek and to find him, because that is what is best for you this evening. The reason we should seek the Lord. But secondly, we have in our verses this evening the urgency of seeking the Lord. It says, while he may be found. So that raises the question. He may not always be found. There's come at a time when he may not be found. The tenure of the command to seek has at its heart that it is possible to do so now, but it won't always be possible. There, the day of grace will come to an end. The day of salvation will be over at the end of the world, or the end of your life. And you'll notice here, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. So the emphasis is on while he is near, while it is possible, friends. And there's coming a day when God will shut the door of salvation, and this world as we know it will cease. The door of salvation also will shut at death. It shuts according to God's justice when we constantly reject Christ. Now, in the flood in Noah's day, you know how Noah preached for 120 years to warn the people. And apart from his family, no one else took any notice of Noah. But I think one of the most solemn events in the account of the flood is not only the description of the water descending and the floods rising. I think one of the most solemn statements is the Lord shut him in. Now, for the believer, that's the most blessed statement. The Lord shut him in. Noah's security was ensured because the Lord shut him in. And that is what happens when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are shut in with him. And the Lord shuts the door. We're secure in Christ. But when the Lord shut that door, no one else could get in. They were left outside. You don't want to be left outside, do you? Surely not. If you think seriously about eternity and about your soul, and you perhaps have parents who are saved, you have brothers and sisters who are saved, and you're not saved, surely, if you want to do the best, if you want the best for your soul, then you need to come just as you are. You cannot save yourself. It is all of God's grace. But the God of all grace says to you this evening, seek me, you will find me. While he may be found, call you upon him while he is near. This is God's day of grace. We read, didn't we, again in Matthew 25 this evening, of that wedding feast. And again we have this awesome, solemn statement. The door was shut. The wise virgins they entered in with the bridegroom to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. They couldn't get in, the door was shut. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Oh, dear friend, please remember this. Satan is at this moment of time in the history of this world, and at this particular age of our nation, the age that you are living in, is using the media as one of his greatest tools. He has no problem in you doing Google search, as long as you don't go to the sermon page. He has no problem with you doing any amount of Google searching, any amount of WhatsApping and Facebooking and all that sort of thing, as long as you don't go anywhere near a page that will be good for your soul. But how can it be said then, in this humanistic, pagan, rebellious day and age, that the Lord may be found? How can the Lord be near in 2017? Well, it's the same way as it was in Isaiah's day. It's the same way as it was in the New Testament age, in the early New Testament church. The way is found in Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I am the way to be near the Father. I am the way. I will bring you to the Father. I will present you to the Father as you trust in me, in my perfection, in my righteousness. One of the names given to the Lord is Emmanuel, God with us. And God is with us, and God is for us in the person of Jesus Christ. He is God's love to this world. So it is only in and through Jesus Christ this evening that God may be found, and that God can be near to us in a saving way and in a merciful way. You see, many whose consciences are troubling them seek the Lord to get near through good works and ceremonies. There was a very dear old lady at Melksham, and her brother had been killed in the war in a blackout. He was riding his motorbike and he got knocked over. And until she was unable to do it, for over 60 years, every 2 weeks, summer and winter, she went to tend her brother's grave. And she told me that this was her means of salvation. That was her means of being loved. Because surely, she said, if I've tended my brother's grave every 2 weeks for 60 years, God will not turn me away. Look at all those good works I've done. Well, I had to say to her, she needed to understand that all those good works she was doing, they had nothing to merit esteem before God as regards her salvation. They were wholesome, but they had no bearing at all upon salvation, because salvation is all of grace. So we have to come just as we are. And the word seek here means to make a diligent search for the Lord. It means with a desire to submit and worship him. So it's not just, I'll seek the Lord and see how things are, and if he's the sort of God I want to worship, that's irreverent. No, the seeking here means I'm going to seek because I intend, with God's help, to submit. I intend to bow before him. I'm seeking to come and to submit to him and to worship him. This is not some half-hearted seeking here. It's not seeking according to your agenda and timing. You know, sometimes we have this thought. I remember I had this thought when I was a teenager, rebelling against a godly parents. And I said, well, it's like this. I understand that there is something in this gospel. There's something in this in your lifestyle, dad and mum. But actually, While I'm a teenager, while I'm in my 20s, I want to see the world, I want to have my fill of it. But when I'm 30, I promise you, I'll sober up. I'll sober up when I'm 30. We can't negotiate with God like that. You cannot negotiate. You young people, dear young people, don't sit there and think, well, there's plenty of time for this. There's plenty of time for God. There's plenty of time for this gospel. I can deal with it after I've settled down in life. I'm going to university. I don't want to be in any way my lifestyle to be checked by godliness and the word of God. I want my freedom. But you see, the wonderful thing is, if you really want to know freedom for your whole being, it is in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus says the truth shall make you free. So actually, if you want freedom, you have to come to the truth. The truth about yourself and the truth about salvation. You have to draw near to the one who is the truth. Not run away from the truth. A Christian actually is someone who is converted and actually someone of great courage. Because they are real about themselves. They are honest about themselves. There's no cover-up. There's no realization. I am a hell-deserving sinner. I have sinned against God's law. I've offended God. And I, in and of myself, I've nothing to merit esteem with God. That's me. That's the reality. And it takes a holy, God-given courage to acknowledge that under the power of the Holy Spirit of God. But maybe this evening, you say, no, I don't want to go down there. And so we have this wall and we shut the reality up and we live in a world of unreality about ourselves. But the person who is real about themselves and understands what they are, they're the very ones who are invited to draw near, because they want to draw near, plead in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will find the Lord if they seek the Lord. Plead in the precious name of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Call ye upon him while he is near. So this seeking is something which grips our whole life. It's a burden which God has placed upon us under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. It will not go away. You perhaps can do enough in the day to distract your minds enough to ease your conscience, but you go to sleep at night and it's there. The first thing you think about when you wake up is this burden. That when you are the most vulnerable in your mind, when your mind is the most open, the first thing you think about is, Lord, I've got this sin. I've got this burden. Oh, Lord, how am I going to deal with this? And the word of God says, you come to me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give ye rest. Call you upon him while he is near. Come with that problem. You know, when Jacob was told that Esau was coming to meet him with 400 men, he was terrified. And we read that he wrestled with the Lord, the angel of the Lord. And he said to the angel of the Lord, I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go. This problem will not go away. And I cannot let you go until you bless me. And the call was a statement of dependence, of need. It was a cry of faith, knowing the importance of knowing God. It's a call of hope and faith, believing the Lord is near in Jesus Christ and willing to save. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Then in verse 7 we have, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. So here the Lord tells us that to find him in Christ Jesus, we must change direction in our life. And repentance means to turn. It means to renounce the old way. It means to reject the old way that is sinful. It means that a wicked, evil, hell-deserving sinner forsakes his old way, the selfish, self-serving way. It means you change your philosophy of life from a thinking indoctrinated by Satan and enslaved by worldliness It means your mind is changed from being self-centered, materialistic, lustful, idolatrous and rebellious. Man's thoughts, which are by nature so proud and self-sufficient and anti-God, despising of Christ and his word and his way. And the key phrase here, given here, is let the wicked forsake his way. Forsake. And the word forsake means here to loosen. It means to untie the knot of rope that binds you to the ungodly way. And we must understand that man's ways and thoughts by nature are not God's ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways than my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. My truth will come to fruition. Well, to forsake the old way of sinful nature means we must desire to be found in God's way. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Let him return unto the Lord. So, to forsake the old way of sinful nature, we must desire to be found in God's way. And to forsake the old way of sinful nature, we must respect God's thoughts. His wisdom is above ours. It's a submission. It's a repentance which turns unto God and says, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. I plead the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I forsake the old way and the old way of thinking. It involves our whole being. I know, O Lord, I have offended you. I know, O Lord, I have messed up my life. I know, O Lord, I've got it wrong. I know, O Lord, I've offended you. And by your grace, Lord, and with your help, Lord, I come in repentance. Untie the knot, Lord, that's binding me to the world, that I might know freedom in Jesus Christ. Oh, untie the knot, Lord. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. Well, return into the Lord then. We return in repentance, that is, a willingness to turn from the old way. But we don't just turn and go nowhere. We turn looking unto Jesus. Return into the Lord. Let him return unto the Lord. Here we have one of the most encouraging statements in all of Scripture. It encourages you to return to the Lord. Here the Almighty God, the Sovereign Lord, the Creator God, the Holy God, the Pure God, the Full of Majesty God, the God who is eternal, the God who is infinite in power and justice and in might, through the gospel of his grace, invites undeserving sinners who despised his goodness, return to the Lord. This is not a call to return to an intermediary God, a representative God, but return to the Lord. And God has allowed, indeed ordained, that two certainties are placed upon the one who comes. It says here, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. And here is the encouragement this evening to come. The final part of our message. He will have mercy upon him. And to our God he will abundantly pardon. So there are two certainties here in coming. Two assurances for you. You know, God would have every right to cast us away. But God said, no, if you come as you are, just as you are, I will have mercy. I will pardon you, abundantly pardon you. Those open sins, those secret sins can all forgiven be. The worst thing you can do is stay away this evening. The best thing you can do is come just as you are. Because God says, I will abundantly pardon you. The first certainty then, he will have mercy upon him. That's the first certainty. God will not inflict upon us his just wrath that we deserve, because he has already inflicted it upon Christ. You know the story, perhaps your pastor may well have spoken to you of this illustration, but there was once a man with his family in the prairie in America, and there was a fire coming, prairie fire coming towards them, blown by the wind. And he went outside into one of his fields, and he burned a huge patch, a huge black patch. It was about, I suppose, 50 meters wide. And he said to the family, "You stand in the middle of this burnt patch." And in God's goodness, the fire went round them. It didn't go over the burnt patch, because the fire had already been there. The grass had already been burned. And that's like us with the cross. The wrath of God will not come down upon us, because it's already rained down on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if we come to the cross, that is the refuge. We have to come to the burnt place, the place where the wrath of God has come down upon the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we have to stand there. And that's the only place whereby we can be saved in Jesus Christ from the wrath of God. It means that in Christ, God the Father then will look upon us as we repent and return and plead the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will look upon us with mercy, with compassion and love. But that repentance is dependent upon God being merciful to us. And this is the promise. You say, well, if I repent of my sin, and if I turn from my sin, will God be merciful to me? Well, the text says yes, and God doesn't lie. God says, I will have mercy on you. If you will come, I will have mercy upon you. And the Puritans used to say that mercy is the bait for repentance. It's God's bait for repentance. And look, if you come, I'm willing. I'm a God of mercy. I'm a God of grace. God delights to forgive. God delights to have mercy. And so mercy is the magnet, if you like, for repentance. Put this in a present-day context. Imagine a young boy, young man, receives his inheritance at 21, and he goes off from home. He makes his way to Thailand. There he spends all his money on vice and gambling, and he catches diseases of all sorts of terrible things because of his lifestyle. Eventually he runs out of money, just like the prodigal son, and he calls his so-called friends and they abandon him. And he's eventually forced to wash the dishes in the back of the restaurant. And in his misery, he emails home and he confesses his sin and rebellion to his parents and before God. But he has no money to get home. Yet despite this, by his rebellion, his father purchased an airline ticket. He emails it to him, and he makes it possible for him to return. And the father and mother go to the airport to greet their son. And as they wait, the TV monitor tells them the flight has arrived. And just a few minutes from now, they will see their son. And eventually they see this young man. And he's in a torn T-shirt and shorts. They look at his weary face and they realize it is their son, and they run to him. They greet him, they hug him, they kiss him. Would not this young man feel the warmth of their mercy? Feel the warmth of their love and forgiveness? Would not this be great mercy shown to this man? The father paid for the ticket and showed mercy with the ticket. And God the Father has paid with his only beloved son. And he's shown mercy with his only beloved son. There's every reason this evening to come just as you are. Whatever you have done, there's no sin too big for the Lord to not be able to deal with. He can save unto the uttermost. Because it says here, and this is my concluding point, he will abundantly pardon. What more could God say to you to encourage you to come just as you are, then he will abundantly pardon? God can cope with the weight of your sin. You can't cope with it any longer, but God can cope with it. God can deal with it. Abundantly is the Lord saying to you, my grace superabounds all of your sin. pardon is God saying, I will totally forgive you. I will accept you as clean and pure in the righteousness of Christ. In other words, you get your sin pardoned in Christ Jesus. He is the only way to overcome the sin. Often we try to conquer our sin before we seek pardon. We've had this situation recently at home where someone has said that felt that they had to deal with this and this and this in their life before they came to the Lord Jesus. They needed to be just, you know, walking in a proper way first, and then they'll be a little bit more ready to come. And one of our more mature members said to this person, no, you need to come just as you are. And in Christ Jesus, you will have the grace for sanctification. You'll have the grace to give up those things. You have to come first. You come just as you are. And in Christ Jesus, you will know the wonderful forgiveness and strengthening hand of God in your life. Forsaken sin and pardoning sin go together. And be assured that the Lord is willing and ready to save repenting sinners. So we have this perfect invitation this evening. And then we have the reason we should seek the Lord. In a world of broken relationships, there is no greater problem for mankind than his separation from the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ made you. He knows what is best for you. And he calls you to come to seek and to find him. The urgency then of seeking the Lord, it has at its heart that it is possible to do so now, but not always. The word while is repeated twice in this exhortation. This word is set in a most solemn manner. There's coming a day when the Lord will shut the door of salvation and the world as we know it will cease. The importance of returning with repentance. The root meaning of forsake here is to loosen, remember, untie the knot that binds you to the ungodly way. Oh, forsaken the old way, Lord, take my life. Loose me, Lord. Let me go. Bring me out of the prison, Lord. Let me go. Release me, Lord. Free me, Lord. Liberate me, Lord. Deliver me, Lord. The encouragement to return in faith. The first certainty, he will have mercy. The second certainty, he will abundantly forgive.